Hi, and welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm your host, Jim Day. These can be confusing times for property owners and tenants in Ontario. The province hasn't seen a general property reassessment, or revaluation if you prefer, since 2016. While some taxpayers might think this is a good thing, that a property value lower than the current market value means a lower property tax bill, this isn't necessarily the case. In fact, quite the opposite can be true. Just ask the residents of the City of Toronto, who are facing a potential 9.5% property tax increase for the coming year. Confusing, right? To help us understand Ontario's property tax system and the current situation, we're joined by Kim Van Vliet and Paula Kalagritsis, two principals and leaders from Ryan's Canadian Property Tax Practice. Hi, Kim and Paula. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
And we have a very special guest on today's episode, Greg Martino, Vice President and Chief Valuation and Standards Officer for Ontario's Municipal Property Assessment Corporation, or MPAC for short. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to join you here this morning for this discussion.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. We're looking forward to hearing your perspective on the current situation. Now, I have lots of questions for all of you, but Greg, maybe we'll start with you. For those listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with Ontario's property tax system, can you describe briefly the function of MPAC and your role as Chief Valuation and Standards Officer?
Sure, great. So MPAC is the valuation agency that's tasked with assessing all properties within the province of Ontario per the legislative framework that is set by the provincial government. So we take a look at both legislation and related regulations and arrive at assessed values as of the legislated valuation date, which we deliver to municipalities across Ontario for the purposes of distributing the property tax requirements within each community. In my role as the Chief Valuation and Assessment Standards Officer, I oversee a team of valuation professionals that support and provide both valuation guidance, direction, and technical standards to our assessors across the organization. I also lead a team of experts that are tasked with oversight over some of the more complex properties, our larger office buildings, shopping centers, large and special purpose properties such as the automotive sector, mines, forestry, and other large and special purpose properties across the province. We work with our valuation and customer relations colleagues across the province in our local offices to ensure that we're delivering valuation accuracy both to our municipal stakeholders as well as all property taxpayers across Ontario.
It sounds like interesting work. Can you elaborate a little bit on the relationship between MPAC and the municipalities in Ontario?
Sure. So all municipalities are a stakeholder member of MPAC. We provide on an annual basis assessment rolls that reflect the assessed values of all properties as well as the classification of all properties within their jurisdiction. And those assessments are used by municipalities to determine how to distribute the revenue requirements to run the various services within that community. We have a municipal and stakeholder relations team that works closely with municipalities to ensure that we're providing information to support their planning requirements. So for example, what sort of changes are occurring within the property tax assessment base within their respective communities. We work with them to collect information to support our work, such as, collection of building permit information, because as properties change, our role at MPAC is to ensure that we're reflecting the current state and condition of those properties. And if a property is renovated, new construction occurs, there's a severance or consolidation that occurs, we're required to ensure that we're delivering that state and condition of that property for the following year's assessment role. So even though we might not have a reassessment, there is a requirement on MPAC's part to ensure that we're maintaining an accurate and up-to-date assessment role that we deliver to municipalities.
And I understand your work recently took you to The Hague. That sounds exciting. What brought you there?
Yeah, that was an exciting opportunity. I was invited by the International Property Tax Institute, IPTI, to speak at a property tax conference that they were hosting in The Hague. And it was really an opportunity for, you know, individuals across the globe to get together to talk about, you know, tax policy. And from my perspective is how does assessment, relate and how does assessment support the overall property tax function within various jurisdictions. I had the honor of presenting with Pat Alessandrini, who's the past president of the IAAO, the International Association of Assessing Officers. And we talked about how assessment supports the property tax system. I talked about, you know, some of the best practices that we have here in Ontario, ensuring that we have accurate and up-to-date databases that are used as the basis for ensuring accurate assessments, how we can support property owners and other stakeholders with access to information, you know, transparency standards, and, you know, how we ensure that our assessors remain up to date in terms of both education, other technical competencies, and how you, you know, can implement to support, you know, an overall review, a strong appeals or review process. All with a view of, again, supporting the property assessment system or taxation system, but ensuring that, you know, you're building stability, confidence, and trust amongst all the stakeholders that are, you know, within that space. And it was a great opportunity to hear from other jurisdictions as to some of the best practices, some of the challenges they have, and how they can be leveraged back here in Ontario as we work to continue to improve on our processes here at MPAC with respect to valuation, accuracy, and service delivery to our stakeholders.
Okay, well, I think you busted the first myth right there. Even though we're in a deferral and a general reassessment's not happening, MPAC's still very busy by the sounds of it. So that's great to know. And let's talk about the deferral a little bit. I know a lot of our clients are concerned about the delay. As I mentioned off the top, I think we're in year 8 or is it 9 of the current assessment cycle. In any case, the valuation date is still back in 2016, and our clients do seem to be concerned about it. Kim or Paula, what are you hearing from our clients about the delay?
I'm hearing a lot of things, and it's usually industry specific. So I hear from retail clients that their values do not represent what the current value is today. And that's hurting them. The landscape of retail has changed significantly over that time period. I think we were already undergoing change from brick and mortar to online retail. And then COVID further pushed that in-person shopping experience online. And so a lot of our retail clients are feeling that pressure on their property taxes, not really reflecting what their tenants are paying today in rent. And then I'm hearing from industrial clients that the future is uncertain for them in terms of property tax. They're building new properties and unsure what to expect for taxes in the coming years without knowing when a reassessment will hit, because on the opposite side of retail, industrial has seen a big shift upwards in values over the last several years. And so they're just not sure what that looks like. Paula, have you heard other things that...
I think the biggest concern I hear from some of my clients is the ability to forecast taxes and when the change might come. And so for the last couple of years, we've been at the mercy of the provincial government to pass a new regulation to extend the assessment role. And so when clients are coming to us asking for tax forecasting for the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years, it's difficult for us to determine when there might be an assessment update. And especially, as Kim mentioned, for the industrial market, when that potential shift might happen in their taxes as a result of the market going significantly higher, or, you know, do retail need to keep basing their taxes on a reality that isn't quite the same today as it was in 2016? So that's one of the biggest concerns that I think I'm hearing from my clients.
And Greg, how about from your perspective, does the deferral create any specific challenges for MPAC?
So it certainly is a bit of a challenge with respect to that level of uncertainty. But from our perspective, we are continuing to monitor the market. We are analyzing sales that have continued to occur. We're collecting information for our income-producing properties. We will be launching our annual income and expense collection on our income producing properties later this year, all with the view of ensuring that we're continuing to analyze and review what is going on within the respective markets so that we are at the ready for whatever sort of decision that the government ultimately makes as part of the ongoing property taxation and assessment review that they're undertaking. You know, to the points that both Kim and Paul have made, there has been some changes since 2016. We've seen, you know, markets and property sectors changing at different rates. There isn't that uniformity, and no one would expect markets to change uniformly. So there is that level of uncertainty. There is that, you know, somewhat to a certain degree, a lack of understanding on the part of property owners relating a 2016 assessment to what's happening here today. So we've had to, you know, ramp up, you know, our communications and educations to explain to property owners that that assessment is reflective of a 2016 valuation date, and all properties are assessed on that basis. But again, having said that, in addition to ensuring that the assessments that we deliver to municipalities are up to date and are a reflection of what's going on within their respective communities, we continue to monitor the market so that when that decision is made to update values from 2016 to whatever the new valuation it may be, we're at the ready to deliver those new assessments to both property owners and municipalities.
So you say you're at the ready, and I'm guessing that's going to be a lot of work, isn't it? Once a decision's been made, okay, now we're going to do a reassessment and they pick a date. I guess you've got to be ready to go, right? That'll be a lot of work.
Well, and that's why what we're doing currently is, as I've mentioned, we continue to monitor sales. We're running analytics to ensure that when that decision is made, we can accurately and quite readily, you know, update our valuation models, valuation parameters to reflect the valuation date that the government and valuation cycle that the government does decide to put in place. One of the challenges obviously will be not necessarily, you know, running the analytics and arriving at values of, as of the new valuation date, but ensuring that we've got a comprehensive engagement and a communications plan to help support property owners and other stakeholders as we go from a 2016 to a different valuation date. Now, you mentioned earlier on that it's, you know, we're in year eight of the cycle. You know, we typically get about 500,000 sales that happen per year. And some of those sales are for property owners that are first-time property owners that probably have never seen a notice of reassessment and have never gone through a reassessment. So the challenge will be is ensuring that we've got, you know, a fairly robust engagement and communications plan to support the new values that are going out there, and the property owners and other stakeholders understand the whole reassessment process. So having an opportunity to come on a podcast such as this, leveraging other communications channels such as About My Property, our MPEC website, or other forums is an opportunity to get some of that information out, because that'll probably be the biggest challenge, the biggest lift as we get to the new reassessment.
Yeah, certainly. I think there will be a lot of questions when the big reassessment is going to happen. I mean, I think the other thing people don't understand is sometimes a lot goes into it, right? Valuation is not as straightforward as they might think. You think about somebody who owns a house and they just want to compare, you know, their house to recent selling prices, you know, among their neighbors. But a lot more often goes into it. I mean, how much time is typically required for a new assessment by MPAC?
So if you look at previous, as an example, right, the 2016 valuation was done for 2016 and delivered for the 2017 taxation year. So you're roughly looking at 18 to 24 months. But, you know, we have been working at how we can improve our overall business processes to further streamline our analytics, our valuation application, so that we can shorten that cycle to be much more responsive to whatever decision is ultimately made by the government. Again, I would go back to the fact that it's not necessarily going to be the analytics, the valuation, and arriving at those assessments for 5.6 million properties across the province. It's going to be that communication and ensuring that we have enough lead time both to ensure that there's an opportunity for feedback from property owners, consider that feedback before those valuations are ultimately finalized. Because again, there's a lot that's been happening in the market over the last 8+ years. We want to make sure that, you know, not only are we at the ready, but we're also in a position to effectively communicate to all stakeholders throughout every step of the valuation reassessment process.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I think a lot of property owners are under the impression that they're in for a huge property tax increase once the reassessment occurs, because they know their, you know, the property value has gone up, you know, quite a bit since 2016. As I mentioned off the top, though, that's really not how it works, is it?
That's correct. That's one of those other myths. You know, an increase in your property assessment as a result of a reassessment doesn't necessarily mean an increase in your property tax. You know, the reassessment is just basically a redistribution of the revenue requirements within a given municipality. So if your assessment goes up at the same rate as the average change for a municipality, you won't see a change as a result of the reassessment. If it goes up at a lower rate than the average, you in all likelihood will see a change resulting from the reassessment. But certainly, if your increase from the previous valuation date to the new valuation date is above the average, in all likelihood, you'll see an increase as a result of the reassessment and the redistribution of the revenue requirements within that community.
Thanks for clarifying that. I know another myth that's kind of out there is that while the deferral has been happening, you know, there aren't assessments occurring. And clearly that's not the case, right? Because you could have a new build, for example. So assessments must be happening. I mean, Kim and Paula, what are some situations where even during the deferral, you know, a reassessment might be necessary for a property?
Well, if there's been like a physical change to the property, obviously there's going to be a change to the assessment. If a portion of the property was demolished or if there was extensive renovations, there's going to be a change to the assessment. There has been some changes to like certain property types throughout the assessment cycle. Gravel pits, I think, are going through an update in values for the 2024 taxation year. So there are situations that would lead to properties being reviewed again, such as a decision, which is the case of the gravel pits, or a physical change to the property.
Kim, anything to add there?
Yeah, I think Paula touched on decisions. So decisions coming from the assessment review board could change things. And that's the sort of, I guess, blessing and curse of an 8-year assessment cycle, is that things legislatively or, you know, from decisions from boards can change how properties are looked at. And so that may require changes. There's something called, Greg, do they still do special assessment notices if a decision were to impact a significant number of properties? There's a special assessment notice that can happen, right?
Yeah, that still does exist. There weren't any issued for the 24 taxation year, but that could be one of the reasons why you would see a change in the assessment for a subsequent taxation year, or in some cases, retrospectively, if it's a special assessment notice.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but it is possible. And so those are some of the things that can impact. Also, tenancy changes. So if you are occupying a property and you're conducting regular commercial business and then they move out and somebody moves in who is conducting a manufacturing process, that can affect not the value necessarily, but the classification of that property.
I would probably add, yeah, we're, as I mentioned earlier on, we're required to deliver an annual roll to municipalities that reflects what has occurred within that community over the course of the year. And both Paula and Kim have mentioned, you know, you might have physical changes to a property as a result of building permits, new construction, changes as a result of ARB decisions. I can tell you by just, you know, processing physical changes that have occurred on its own, MPACT last year added an additional $42 billion in new assessment to the assessment mode, reflecting new constructions, additional alterations that have that happened on existing properties. We issued a little over 700,000 property assessment notices, and these would be property assessment notices where there's been a physical change or an assessment change or classification change to the property. So even though we're not in a reassessment, there are activities that occur on a regular and ongoing basis throughout the course of the year to ensure that the assessment role accurately reflects what is going on to a property within any given community.
So Greg, you may not have an answer to this off the top of your head, but do you have an indication of whether that is more or less than previous years? I'm just wondering if it's an indication of development in Ontario.
That's a great question, Kim. And actually, the $42 billion is the most that we've ever delivered in terms of new assessment to municipalities. And I think it is an indication of the development that is going on in Ontario. You know, there is a need and there is a shortage of housing supply within the province. You know, a report about 18 months ago from the affordability task force that was struck by the government indicated that in order to address the housing affordability issue or the supply issue, we need to build 1.5 million new homes over the next 10 years. So we're seeing that happen in some communities. Some of the challenges is, availability of labor to support some of the demands that are out there. But certainly we are seeing growth and development occurring in various communities to address some of the issues that we have with respect to housing and, you know, other ancillary sort of properties that are required to support the development of those communities.
Yeah, people may not like to hear, you know, $42 billion of new assessment being added because they might think that that means that municipalities are just, you know, going to be receiving a new influx of cash. But I think the positive side of that is that we are seeing great growth and development in the province. And that is then going back to support our communities through municipal taxation.
Definitely.
Greg, one thing you had said that I found interesting is that these reassessments that are occurring, they're using the old base date, right? The January 1, 2016. Is that correct?
That's correct. So any new construction, any changes that do occur, it's all on a January 1st, 2016 valuation basis. So a new property that is built, a new house as an example, that is built today in, let's say, Barrie, we would be assessing it with a valuation date of January 1st, 2016. And that's a bit of a challenge because property owners, you know, are probably more in tune with what's going on within their community, within their market as of today. Trying to relate that back to 2016 is a bit of a challenge. So there is information that we do make available to property owners through About My Property, where a property owner can go in and look at the assessed values of comparable properties within their communities to get a sense as to whether or not that assessment that MPAC has arrived at is fair and reflective of what other properties are being assessed at. But certainly it is a bit of a challenge when you're looking at 2016 and, you know, property owners really more relating to what's going on within the current market today.
And I guess that's one challenge. Are there any other challenges or concerns with the deferral kind of continuing? I mean, maybe it goes on another year or two before we pick a new valuation date. Any concerns about that? And it's an open question.
Well, I think when it does happen, it is going to be, as Greg mentioned, a lot of communication is going to have to happen because, you know, those of us who live and breathe property assessment and property taxation, like, you know, we understand that this reassessment has been delayed for several years, but it's not really the general public's knowledge that, you know, their house is still based on a 2016 market value. So I think when the announcement's ever made of an updated assessment notice, I think there is going to be, you know, a fair bit of media buzz that goes along with that. It's going to take a lot of effort by MPAC and the entire community. And that's in property tax and assessment to really educate clients and educate like friends, family on what this actually means. And that you don't need to panic if you're, you know, being reassessed because that's, you know, that's not how the system works. But I think there is going to have to be a lot of communication through all forms of media to really make the public understand. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge the longer this delay happens.
Yeah, I think that it's not going to be uncomplicated, right? So when you go this long between reassessments, if we go back to, you know, the last time there was a big gap in reassessment, the province had to introduce a lot of mitigation factors to adjust for the fact that you may be seeing a doubling in your assessment, but you can't see a doubling in your tax bill. And so there's likely to be a phase-in of assessment, which is what we've seen over the last few cycles. What that looks like with an 8 or 9 or 10 year gap in between, we're not sure yet. There may have to be capping and clawback reintroduced, which was in place for the last 20 or so years, but on its way out, that may see its way back in, which really further complicates what people see on their what people's assessment is as it relates to what their tax bill is. And we used to say to clients that your assessment notice means nothing as compared to your actual tax bill because there are so many things that happen in between in terms of calculations that they don't actually relate. It's not just your assessment times your tax rate to get your tax bill. So there's that added layer of complication that not only MPAC, but the province is going to have to explain, and maybe municipalities are going to have to, you know, be fully briefed so that they can explain to taxpayers who are, you know, scared that when they see their assessment notice come out that looks like it might be doubling their tax bill that they maybe can't afford, that those are explainable, even though it's complicated.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So, I mean, what's your best advice for a property owner that's concerned maybe about the upcoming reassessment or just the assessed value of their property in general?
I would probably say that we have never seen tax bills double or triple or increase commensurate with an assessment increase cycle over cycle. Because that's not how municipal taxation works. Just because assessments are going to go significantly up because there's been such a gap in reassessments doesn't mean that the municipalities are going to be getting double the revenue they had last year. That's not how this works, right? And so there are regulations in place, legislation in place that does not allow a municipality to double its revenue from one year to the next. And so typically, as assessments go up, tax rates come down, and it balances out. Municipalities get a budgetary increase each year, but we don't usually see a windfall in that respect.
Thanks, Kim. Paula, Greg, anything to add there?
From my perspective, what I would suggest is that, you know, information, the data that we have on your property, obviously is going to form the basis for not only your current assessment, but any assessment that, you know, we do look to arrive at once an announcement on a reassessment is made. So I would encourage property owners, you know, to take a look at the information that we have on file with respect to their property. And if there are any issues or challenges or concerns with the information that we do have, because that's the information that we will ultimately use to determine subsequent assessments, by all means, please contact us. We're more than happy to work with property owners to ensure that we have our information correct. If property owners feel that the current assessment does not reflect, you know, the value of their property as of January 1st, 2016, you know, file a request for reconsideration. That's free and an informal process can be filed directly to MPAC. We will review that information and, if necessary, make the appropriate changes both to the assessment and any other details that we have on file, which will ultimately be used to inform subsequent updates. And we also have other information with respect to how we assess properties, you know, our valuation methodology guides, other information on our website. I encourage property owners and other stakeholders to review that information. And if they have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us.
Thanks. That sounds like good advice. I guess while I have the three of you here, I would really like to ask a question. I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit, or you know, don't if you don't want to. But I'm just wondering, like, during this deferral, do you think maybe the province is considering some other kind of change to Ontario's property tax system? And if so, what might that be? Any thoughts there?
I know there's organizations, professional, like, associations of different companies or industries are looking for more transparency within the assessment cycle, and that, you know, that we move towards an annual assessment base. I think I can see that maybe coming. I don't know if you think that's something that might be down the road. I know back at some point in the 2000s, there was one year that was an annual assessment cycle. We were supposed to go towards that, and then it moved to 2 years and then 3 years, and then we got into the 4 year cycle. But I think my prediction is that once this review is completed, that I think the assessment cycle might shorten.
Greg, anything to add there?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I do know that the province is undertaking a review, and they're consulting with various stakeholders, be it property owners, industry, municipalities, academia, on, you know, how to improve the overall property assessment and taxation system in the province of Ontario. Certainly, transparency, fairness, equity are probably some of the pillars that they're going to and guiding principles that they're going to look at with respect to the how we move out of this latest deferral. From MPAC's perspective, we're ready to provide whatever support, whatever information the government may need to help inform those decisions. And quite frankly, as I've mentioned, we've continued to monitor the market. We've continued to update our inventories. We are reaching out to various stakeholders in the industry to understand what is going on within retail, within industrial, within other communities across the province that are continuing to grow and evolve, so that, you know, when that decision is ultimately made, we're at the ready and we can deliver and implement the system that the government ultimately decides is appropriate for Ontario.
Thanks, Greg. That's very reassuring. I want to thank all three of you for your great insights today on this property tax situation in Ontario. I really appreciate the time. Paula and Kim, for our clients who might be listening and want to find out more or have some concerns about their property tax assessment in Ontario or anywhere in Canada, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can visit our website at ryan.com/Canada. And search for Paula or myself. We're also available on LinkedIn. And I don't think you'll be having any difficulty finding us if you look for us individually.
Okay, sounds good. And Greg, I really want to thank you for your perspective. It was nice to have sort of the government's side of things and talking about the issues. And I hope you'll come back and join us once the province makes its decision and announces its plans for the next reassessment in Ontario.
Well, again, Jim, I want to thank you, Kim and Paula, for inviting me. I found this conversation to be quite informative. I hope your listeners found it informative as well. I think as we move from this deferral to the reassessment, it's important that we continue to communicate to support our various stakeholders across the province to make the implementation of the next reassessment as smoothly and seamless as possible. So thank you for the opportunity.
It was our pleasure, and well said. That concludes this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. Let us know what you think about the podcast. You can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to events@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.